You're listening to audio from Grace Church Miami. May you be challenged and encouraged by this message, having the affections of your heart stirred towards greater love and understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit gracechurch.miami.
Wool sweaters are especially uncomfortable. They're itchy, they're scratchy, they make you sweat like a sauna. What is meant to warm you with its thick fibers can often just be irritating to one's skin. And tonight's theme is on the eternality of God. I know talking about the eternality of God is like asking each of you tonight to put on a wool sweater in South Florida outside in August. Because eternity and the eternality of God makes many uncomfortable. Friends, perhaps as I've begun and you realize the theme for tonight, the theme of the eternality of God makes you uncomfortable and you want to disconnect. But let me encourage you to sit in the uncomfortability with me tonight for just a few minutes. Let's let the truths from the songs that we've heard guide you. Let the text that we're looking at tonight ground you in appreciating the eternality of God. We can struggle to understand God who is eternal. The eternality of God, though, is not meant to cause us to live in despair and doubt the goodness of God. But it is meant to help us to honestly look at life with hearts that see God aright. And then through the wisdom of his word, worship him. And to see our purpose before our eternal God. Tonight, we're simply looking at two things. I want you to remember two words. We're looking at the eternality of God and the awe and the ask. Are you in awe of the eternality of God? What should you then ask of an eternal God? We're looking at the awe and the ask tonight. Now, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 139. Just a few parts here to look at. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in and behind and before and lay your hand upon me. David was in awe of what God's eternality meant for him. And as you look at verse 6, what does he say? But such knowledge, it's too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. The God had searched and known David at a depth he himself could not comprehend. He later would say, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If God is eternal, is there a way of escape? Is there somewhere I can go where he is not? For David, though, the eternality of God highlighted God's love for him. David was in awe when he wrote, look at verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Consider what's being said here of God's eternal depth of presence, his active providence for every day given when not a single day had yet come to David. Consider what the theologians are referring to as God's infinite attention and personal awareness of David here. Of every detail, of every moment in his life. God being from everlasting to everlasting knows David from beginning to end, knows his every day, his hour, his minutes, his seconds, and his life. God is outside time. without beginning or end. He has always been and will always be. C.S. Lewis helps us by illustrating this with a piece of paper. A paper that represents God, but with the four corners of that paper extending in every direction endlessly into eternity. Infinitely in every direction is this paper. And then when it refers to man in the Bible, we are but dust. We can put a line, a dot on that piece of paper, a short line to explain man before God. Time before God. Time and God. Man's time is but a tiny line before an infinite and eternal God. You see, time is found in God, and it is in God that time begins and ends in Him. We ought to be in awe of our eternal God. David is in awe. In Psalm 139, David was in awe that God was present in time. David was also in awe that God was eternally powerful in time. And David was in awe that God was personal in time. God's personal knowledge, care, love towards us ought to leave us in awe. Why something, though, so true is so quickly neglected in our minds and hearts? Does this knowledge of God's eternality affect your understanding and how personally He knows and cares for you? The deep awareness that He has of your every word, your every thought, your every gaze, your every smile, your every struggle, your every sorrow, your every moment of joy or pain, God has this infinite attention and personal awareness of it. Here is a lesson for us. If God gives us this infinite attention and personal awareness, does that lead us to praise Him and acknowledge His active participation in our lives? God is too great to fathom. But that is not a reason to be discouraged or to disconnect. Man cannot be God, nor can we fully understand His eternality. Right? Water and oil, they can't mix. The oil cannot become water. So man, although it cannot fully fathom God, still comes to enjoy God, be in awe of God, and find purpose in Him. Let's ask the question, how do we appreciate the eternality of God? Yes, by being in awe and praising God who cares, knows, and is numbered all our days and moments. Friends, are you in awe of the God who is eternal? Then we ought to then stand in awe and worship Him who is eternally powerful, present, and personal with us. And what would you ask of an eternal God? Consider for a moment what consumes your mind the most. Is it thoughts of eternity or thoughts in the present? What consumes your mind? For many, the present is ever-consuming, and the brevity of life dominates our every day. It's our productivity that fills our minds, our marital status, personal wealth, emotional experiences, the loss of possessions, or of those most dear to us. All this can but blind us and cause us to compartmentalize God, to ignore His infinite attention to us and His personal awareness with us. Most of us struggle to think far into eternity. The eternality of God causes some problems in our thinking. The problem is, as we grapple with the God who is eternal and ourselves that we are not God, when we consider this, the eternality of God really begins to highlight the inability for man to measure up to God. The problem is God is uncomfortably too big and man is uncomfortably too small and sinful. We are not as personal, not as present, not as powerful. In summary, with man, we are sinful and we're not sovereign. The temptation then is to push away this God who is eternal because he's too great. Just don't think about it. Or pretend the present is all there is and live it up. The world's yours for the taking. That's not what David does in Psalm 139. Look at verse 23. David looked at his life through the lens of the eternality of God. And then in verse 23, he asks of this God that he's in awe of, he asks him something. He says, "Search me. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me." What's happening here? Well, the eternality of God does not cause David to ignore God, but to lean into him. You are eternal. Search me. Know my heart. Try me. Why would he do this? Because David understood the necessity to praise the God who's eternal, to stand in awe of him, but he also understood the need to ask of God, "Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my heart." David was concerned with the direction of his heart. He's concerned by what occupied his heart. He's concerned by what could be hidden in his heart, unaddressed, and in particular, sin that was unconfessed. God, search me. Try me. But he doesn't stop there. What does he say at the end there? Verse 23, "Lead me. Lead me, God. Don't just search me and clean me. Lead me in the way everlasting." So the eternality of God exposed his present. Search me. My heart's not right with you. Cleanse me. Give me grace. But also, it encouraged him in the future. Lead me, God. Lead me with you. The problem causes David to invite God to search his heart, clean it, give me eternal purpose. You see how the perceived problem of God's eternality has turned our attention to our eternal purpose with him. And so David, in Psalm 139, thinks of his whole life through the lens of his God. We see David, amidst the brevity of his own life, consider God's awareness, attention, and activity in his own life. There is no part of David's life that the eternality of God doesn't touch. God's eternality affected David's perspective in the field as a shepherd boy when killing a lion, as a soldier when sparing Saul's life, as himself a king by God's sovereign anointing. Let's consider some specific moments for David. David's rock that was directed at Goliath was activity of an eternal God. David's sin with Bathsheba had the attention of the eternal God that led him to appreciate the eternal God who forgives not some of our sins, but all our sins. Consider David's discipline that followed. How the eternal God was at work. He was aware. Attention was given. God was actively personal to David. And God's care for David, his infinite attention to what was happening in each moment in time. As David faced the loss of each child, the God that was outside time was not limited by time to attend to him in those microseconds, but gave him his infinite attention and care in that one moment. God being outside time is not limited in time in the microseconds of time to care for us, to know what's going on, and to love us, and to be God who's personal, present, and active. This is good news for us. God met us in David's every second of every day, in his greatest moments of joy and pain. So David's confidence could be in his eternal God. And this led him to open wide and embrace the God whose eternality leads us to love and live for him in the present and into eternity. Friend, tonight, this is just a glimpse of the impact of the eternality of God had on David's life. But what about you? What about your life? What impact has the eternality of God on your life? Has the eternality of God left you to ask and be awe of him? Friends, what if our response to the eternality of God was the way to appreciate the glorious microseconds in our life and the macro moments that we have to enjoy in eternity with him? You know, it's because of the eternality of God that I can say that the eternal God found me and saved me when I was not looking for him. It's because of the eternality of God that the eternal God uses my weakness of dyslexia to remind me I need him to understand what I read. It's because of the eternality of God that the eternal God used a ruptured Achilles to remove an idol from me. It's because of the eternality of God that the eternal God opened my eyes to see the need for the gospel and for healthy churches here in South Florida, in Miami, in 2019, at Grace Church. And in March of 2023, he brought me to pastor Faith Church. Christians, let me circle back to you for just a moment. What about you? Give thought to this. What impact has the eternality of God on your life? And friend, maybe you're here tonight and I'm glad you're here and you say, I'm not a Christian. This is a great place to be. But friend, if you're not a Christian, how would you answer that question? Give thought to that tonight.
Thank you for listening to audio from Grace Church Miami. May God draw you nearer to him through his word. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit gracechurch.miami.